Thank you, Clive. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look a whole lot better now. All right, while the stewards are distributing the notes for the morning message, if you'll open your Bibles with me to Psalm 105. I'd like to encourage you to participate in our joint service this evening at 6:30 at Holy Trinity. We don't have a lot of occasions where we meet with the other part of our church family in this community, but it's a vital part of our bringing power, the power of God to our community, is joining in unity with other parts of the family. And, it's amazing how over time the people in other congregations have begun to connect with us and recognize us. And so it's great to gather and to worship the Lord and to believe God to do things that need to be done in our community. I was yesterday in Wembley, and you're no doubt aware of some things that have happened in Wembley recently. And the church that I was involved with, their New Life Christian Center, immediately in the aftermath of some terrible events, they sent out some teams into the area and went into the shops, and the shopkeepers allowed them to pray with them and just release the glory of God and the peace of God, because it had been a very disturbing time. And they were so profoundly grateful. And I think that, that's part of our responsibility as believers, is to bring the grace of God to places where it isn't. And so I'd like to encourage you to join with us as we worship together with the larger family in our community. Yeah. All right, Psalm 105. If you have Psalm 105, stand to your feet. I'm glad to see some of you brought your Bibles today, because you're going to need them. I'll want you to recite the first 10 books of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, we anticipate you even more than ever before. And as the Lord, we travel through the remainder of this year, we pray that that river of your presence and the river of your grace and the river of your power and the river of your might will just increase steadily until, Lord, it's a mighty rushing river that flows out of this house, Lord, into every family in our community, in our city, in our nation. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word that are yes and amen. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, we're looking again at, you may be seated. We're looking again at the subject of your worship life. And I'm very thrilled to sense, as I'm sure you are, that God is doing something in our midst. And what we were experiencing this morning is what I call the rising river. And, the Bible describes the work of the Holy Spirit in terms of a river in Ezekiel 47, as I'm sure you may be aware. And that's a progressively deepening river. And then it comes to a point where the Bible says you can't walk through it. You can't swim through it. It's an overflow. And that's that we want so much of God in our lives that we can't manage it. We're good at managing things, and we can sometimes unwittingly manage God right out of our experience. But God wants us to come to a place where we're just helpless, and He has everything in our lives in His hands. And then in so doing, He shapes us to be His face and His hands to our world. So we're looking at your worship life, and I I want to start off by reading Psalm 105 and the first couple of verses here. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among..." What's it say?
The nations.
The nations. Make known among the nations what He has done. How do we fulfill that? How do we fulfill that? How do we make known among the nations what He has done? Then in verse 2 it says, sing. And then what's the next word? What's the next word after sing? No, that's not the next word. Some of us don't read well. It is the word to. A very important preposition in the Bible. Many people around the world sing. But when you worship, when you praise God, you shouldn't just be singing. You should have inside yourself an educated instinct that says, I'm not just singing because I enjoy singing and I enjoy the song and I enjoy the words and I enjoy the expression and the creativity and the beauty and the poetry and just that whole. You are actually singing to someone. Sing to Him. And then, as though we might not get it, He says, sing praise to Him. To Him. And tell of all His wonderful acts. So you can just tell God of all His wonderful acts. You say, but Pastor, He already knows His wonderful acts. Yes, but He has designed for us to be creatures that sing to Him and sing to Him of His greatness. Why, is God the great egotist? No. But He knows only as we center on His greatness do we become who He made us to be. He doesn't need anything. But He knows when we're out of ourselves and magnifying His greatness, singing to Him, praising Him, then that transforming work of grace that 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about makes us God in the earth. And we'll come back to that, but I'd like us to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, just as we're kind of learning some things about praise and worship. And you say, Pastor, I already know all this. Well, that's good. If you know everything, then you don't need to attend the preaching. It isn't what we know that is most significant. It's what we practice and where our faith is actually exercised. How many believe that you can increase, you can grow, you can expand, you can be enlarged in every area of your life? And the rest of you, God bless you. But here's a great verse for us right now in what God is saying and doing in our midst. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse, let's try 20. Early in the morning, this is Israel, and they're kind of facing some difficulties, to say the least. They left for the desert of Tekoa. It says early in the morning. Everybody say early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Actually, that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, early in the morning. I realize that some of you may struggle to believe that, but it does say that, early in the morning. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God." This is one of the few times the word faith is used in the Old Testament. And I find it's a fascinating occurrence right here in this particular context as they're facing the threat of extinction or annihilation. And so He takes this, He says, "Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing, well, there it is again, that preposition, to sing to the Lord. They weren't just singing, they were singing to the Lord. You know, lots of places have a program. You can go get in the program. But when it comes to God, you want to be focused vertically. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Become a person who just sings to the Lord. When you get up in the morning, sing to the Lord. You say, well, I like singing. Well, that's good. Sing. But when you sing, sing to the Lord. So he appointed these men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Now, I'd like to just pause there for a moment. Jehoshaphat says, I want all these men to come, and I want you to sing, and I want you to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, and I want you to go at the head. Everybody say the head.
The head.
The head of the army. This means before the army. Now, logically, we would think, well, the singers and praisers should come after the army, but this is prophetic. This is a prophetic appointment. These people are coming to praise the Lord before the army goes to battle, rather than at the end. Oftentimes we may think that we give great praise after the victory has occurred. And of course we do. Praise is always appropriate. But here in this particular set of circumstances, where they all could have been filled with fear at the possibilities of annihilation, Jehoshaphat says, okay, the singers, the praisers, are going to go at the head of the army. You know, it doesn't make a lot of natural sense. Why would you send people who are just singers, maybe with a few instruments, in front of the army? Wouldn't they kind of get wiped out first? Why not kind of put them in the middle or behind so they could be protected? Because, you know, we want to preserve this whole thing of worship that we've got as part of our heritage and our legacy and our culture and who we are. God said, I want them right in the front. Right in the front. Right in the front. This is how prophetic this was and is today. They went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So they're in the middle of trouble. They're in the middle of trouble. Have you ever been in the middle of trouble?
Yes.
When you're in the middle of trouble and your heart is troubled, you often don't feel like praising. But God gives us an instruction here. He gives us wisdom from heaven, and he says, I want you to praise me before you even engage at any other level. Now, I don't know about you. I think that can be challenging at times. Because you can engage your head at 56 possibilities of how we could work this out, and maybe we could do a sneak attack, and we could come over here. Maybe we put somebody up and look out and, you know, analyze it, do all kinds of other things to try to sort out what we're going to do about this trouble. God says, tell you what, first order of business, praise. Praise. Yeah, but I don't feel like praising. First order of business, praise. Praise. Verse 22, and I'm sure you know this story, says, and as they began, everybody say began.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you praise? You're giving the keys to the situation back to the boss. Saying, Dad, here's the key. It's yours. You're the one that can unlock this, fix this, overrule, change, deliver, alter. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to praise you. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Well, once again, this is wisdom from heaven. This isn't logic. It's not the way we're educated. This is wisdom from heaven. Notice verse 23, the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. So instead of the Israelites getting annihilated, they're killing each other. And notice the rest of the verse says, after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They helped to destroy one another. That's a great miracle. It's recorded in the Bible because God wants to teach us, as 2 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10 says, He wants to teach us how to live life. When trouble comes against you and you don't have a solution, start praising God. Engage your spirit, your mouth, your tongue, your worship, and sing to Him. I want to read a couple testimonies. A man named John Dixon was a bookstore owner, Christian bookstore owner, and he was under this oppressive cloud of difficulty. He was in a terrible financial crisis. And here's his testimony. He said, sometimes you just have to tell your own soul what to do. He said, my soul doesn't always feel like praising God. But as I praised Him as an act of my will, my spirit began to waken inside me. And as my soul began to line up with my proclamations, a flow of the anointing began to be released. And the oppressive cloud would lift, and the presence of God would come into my store. It wasn't long until my business turned around, and I knew it was not because of my keen business ability. It was the Lord who turned my business around because I praised Him in the hard place. Interestingly enough, that was from the Billy Graham website. Another testimony from Tommy Walker, who says, I can't remember how many times I felt like God was a million miles away, and then in an instant I realized that He was closer than the air I breathe. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that He actually lives and dwells in our praises. And this is the mystery and the miracle of the breakthrough power and presence of God when we worship. He said, when I was 11 years old, the Jesus movement was taking hold in my hometown of El Paso, Texas. And the church I attended began to be filled with long-haired, barefoot hippies. And we sang a cappella songs like Hallelujah over and over again. It really was an authentic, powerful move of God. But I was very young, so most of the time I was bored and distracted. However, I do remember watching the Holy Spirit move on people's lives in a special way. I remember seeing high school kids worshiping and weeping at the mention of God's love. There was such an amazing sense of grace and unity among everyone. One Friday night, as the Christian band was playing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, it happened. And for the first time, while I was observing everyone worshiping God, I began to sense God's presence. I've heard it said that worship is a picture of the gospel in motion, and it certainly was for me that night. I saw people displaying a kind of personal, intimate relationship with God that I wanted and needed. A relationship that I knew was only possible by the blood of Jesus. One of my earliest memories is of my parents gathering us around my mom's grand piano and having us sing the old hymns of the church for what I felt like hours. But at 5, I would end up lying under the piano and eventually falling asleep. I didn't think much about Jesus and the gospel then, but on that Friday night as the Christian band played, the God we had sung about became my own personal God. And I sensed Him saying to me for the first time, Tommy, I love you. And I've called you to do great things for me. He said, I wept at the thought that the God of heaven wanted to save and use a young boy. I surrendered my life to Jesus that night. One of my life verses has been Psalm 40 and verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know, that came just out of worship, just out of the presence of God. But we were experiencing here today as God came and began to work in our bodies and minds and lives mysteriously and wonderfully. And I believe that there is so much more that God has for us. And so that's why we're on this journey about learning more about praise and worship, so we can become such avid praisers and worshipers, not just in here, but all the way through our life journey. So I'd like to encourage you and give you an assignment as your pastor. Before I get into the message any further, I'd like to encourage you and give you an assignment today that if perhaps on Monday night or some night this week, you could just gather with your family and just spend some time just praising God. Maybe you might need a little music to assist the process, but just spend a little time just singing to Him, praising Him. Just bring some of the presence of Almighty God. You know, God comes to ambush your enemies. How many need some enemies ambushed? The devil likes to ambush us, but God's got a bigger ambush. Spend a little time with your family. Just, okay, we're just going to worship you. We may not have a lot of Bible reading, but we're going to worship you, Lord. Just worship you. As that boy said, I remember we had worship in our home. We had worship in our home. You'll have something in your home. You'll have some atmosphere. You'll have some culture. And it'll be the one you develop. And so let's just take a little time in this season while we're learning the ways of the Lord to just worship in our home. All right, on page 4 and 5 in your notes there, we've been looking at the words for worship as we saw in the Old Testament, the words for worship, and now we're looking at some of the words for the Old Testament words for praise. And we looked last week at halal. I know some of you think that has to do with how meat is butchered, but that's actually a Hebrew word meaning glory, praise, sing, and celebrate. So we looked a little bit about that. But I want to just look at the first paragraph on your notes there. It says, the Hebrew word for the Old Testament book of Psalm means praises. So the book of Psalms is the book of praises. In the original language, it's not just Psalms, it's the book of praises. It's a book filled with praises. It is actually the largest book in the Bible. So if it's the largest book in the Bible, it must be a pretty significant message God is trying to give His people. And I never knew that. I never knew that. Going back, I never knew that. I thought praise and worship was a very narrow band. God says this subject is so big, so vital to your life and your success, I'm going to make the biggest book. Oh, I know there's very important things and issues in Genesis and the book of Revelation and Daniel and all the prophecies and so on and so forth. But the biggest book that has to do with our personal and corporate relationship to Him is the book of Psalms. Yeah, you don't get connected to God unless you give your life to Christ, of course. But after you give your life to Christ, God says He made you to be a worshiper. He made you to be a worshiper. So the New Testament Greek word for the book of Psalms means singing praises with the accompaniment of some stringed instrument. So they pick up the Hebrew word meaning praises, and the Greek translation of that word Psalms is to sing praises with the accompaniment of instruments. And so they understood, the New Testament believers and the writers understood, that the songbook of the Old Testament was to be offered back to God with musical instruments. You know, when I grew up a few weeks back, we went to church service. We had what was called a hymn book. How many of you know what a hymn book is? All right. Some of you have a few gray heads. It was a book full of songs, and depending on the denomination you were raised in, those songs are written by godly men and women, and they had these written out and published, and so you went, and in some churches, they would have the numbers of the hymn written on a board on the wall, and so you knew exactly, and so you turned to that page, and you sang from the hymn book. And that was the worship service. And that's is really actually out of the Bible. The Bible actually uses the word hymn in terms of worshiping the Lord. But I sang a lot of hymns without ever worshiping. And we'll come back to that. The New Testament writers sought, and or rather saw and believed, that the Old Testament was to be sung back to the Lord. You say, Pastor, can you prove that? I'm glad you asked me that. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Because sometimes people say, well, there's really nothing in the New Testament about worship. So worship can be DIY. You know what a DIY means? Do it yourself. Do it how you like it. Do the way that's right for you, the way that fits for you, the way you're comfortable with. Actually, there's really nothing in the Bible, in the New Testament, that tells you about how to worship the Lord. And so that's why it can be so easy to just kind of do it. In fact, some places you go, people say, well, I don't know how you worship, but you just worship today however you feel. So it becomes a DIY sort of process. But here in the New Testament, we understand how God intended new covenant believers to worship Him. He said, if something's so big, I'm not going to leave it for you to guess or wonder or make up yourself. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So you can conclude by that, if you don't understand what the will of the Lord is, don't be looking around now. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms. So here's the New Testament talking about speaking psalms. Psalms is from the Old Testament. So the writer of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, commanded God's people to use the Old Testament psalm book or praise book. He says, I want you to be singing psalms. And he says, then he uses this other word, hymns. What is a hymn? We'll come back to what a hymn is. It's an important distinction between a psalm and a hymn, and the third one, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. So he says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to do psalms. So you got to go to the psalm book or the song book to get some songs from the psalm book. And he said, I want you to sing those. Sing the psalms. And some hymns. Whatever hymns are. And spiritual songs. Well, I thought, aren't all songs spiritual songs? Well, if they're filled with the Spirit and sung to the Lord, yes, in one sense. That's not what he's distinguishing here with this term. And we'll come back to it. They're in the Old Testament as well. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and, what's it say? Making music. Or make music. Did you know you're a music maker? You're a music maker. You say, but I don't have any hits. You do in heaven. You do in heaven. Every time you make music in here and sing it to Him, you have a hit in heaven. God says, yes, that's right. We're in perfect alignment now. Make music. You're a creator of music. A creator of music. Create music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God and the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let's look at it here in the New Living Translation. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you sparsely. Just checking to see if you could still read. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whoa. You got to get connected with other people to be able to teach them and admonish them with all wisdom. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know that I have all wisdom. Yes, you do. But where is it if I have it, Pastor? You have it in the one who is all wisdom. And the all wisdom isn't progressively released from you until you engage. Engage. So these are great challenging verses because many people go to a service and then leave a service. They're not thinking about teaching or admonishing anybody. They don't teach or admonish at work. They don't teach or admonish at home. They may tell off, but they don't teach and admonish with all wisdom. So they don't really see themselves as a believer who teaches and admonishes with all wisdom through what? Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit or spiritual songs, singing. What's that next word? Two. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See, that's kind of a big thing to take in, isn't it, Pastor? That actually as we sing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with others, that we're actually releasing the riches of wisdom around us? You certainly are. How does that happen? How does the wisdom of God? I'll tell you, the wisdom of God was released here this morning. The wisdom of God was released here this morning. You know, what's wisdom? Wisdom is the key that unlocks unlockable things. And when you have a physical condition, you need something to unlock that. And that's what was happening here this morning. As we were worshiping the Lord, we were giving Him the key. And He comes and says, oh, I'd like to unlock your bad back. I'd like to unlock your arthritis, your bursitis, your heart trouble, your cancer. We're releasing the wisdom of God as we sing to God. But that doesn't make sense, because in our world you have to kind of talk to somebody and give them the wealth of instruction and meditation and history and experience and the word that you have received. And that's how you, well, that is true. You can give wisdom to others in that way. But this is one way where God says you can release the wisdom of God in the most amazing, miraculous way by worshiping Him. By worshiping Him. He released the wisdom of God. Now, this kind of singing is not outdated today. If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He says, this is how I want you to worship me in the New Testament with psalms, well, you got to go to the Old Testament, to the praise book, hymns and spiritual songs. So the early church understood that's how they were to worship the Lord. They understood that the way David had been instructed by God to worship the Lord, that God used that as a template, a model for all future generations. And I believe that that's why you see so much of the subject of worship in the book of Revelation, because the culmination of everything, all redemptive history, is going to involve worship and how that worship releases things in the earth. More on that another time. But let's talk a little bit here about the vocabulary of praise. Praise has a vocabulary. Now, I want to make this really simple, and then we're going to have a little clinic here today. Praise has a vocabulary. You know, when you are physically an infant, you don't come out of the womb speaking. You come out crying after they slap you someplace. If they still do that, I don't know. You make some noises, and everybody's trying to use the gift of interpretation to discern what your noise means, whatever noise that's coming out of you. You don't have really much vocabulary, and so your parents are so excited when they get you to say dada or mama or some word. And so you say it and everybody's, whoa, that's great. Why do they think that's great? Because this is a sign of normal development. You are learning to speak. And so they don't start off with, okay, I'm going to teach my three-month-old baby supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Can you say that now? No, you don't start off with anything that complicated. It's very simple, isn't it? Mama, dada. And that's the way you start. You don't have much of a repertoire or much vocabulary in your speech. But if you are sitting here today and you're 40 years old and that's still all you have, mama, dada, there is a problem here. You have not correctly developed. You're immature. You're not going to do well on your job when you report for your first day and all you know is mama, dada. Could you look up something on Google for me? Mama, dada. Could you go talk to the manager of that department? Mama, dada. What time is the next meeting? Mama, dada. You say, I think you were hired prematurely. You're not ready for this task. You haven't sufficiently developed in your vocabulary to be able to communicate in a constructive way. And oftentimes in Christendom, when it comes to our worship, we have a very narrow vocabulary. Our vocabulary reflects the width and the depth of how we see things, how we understand things. And so our expression is accordingly. And often God's people have an extremely narrow band of vocabulary. They're able to say mama and dada to God. But why do you think the biggest book in the Bible is full of praises? It's full of praises. It's because God wants us to be able to express the width and the depth of our relationship to Him. And that's one of the things that you capture in the beauty of the psalm book, the praise book, the book of Psalms, is the incredible breadth and depth of the praises that are offered to God. God says, I want you to come into a place of development where you can communicate like an adult, like a mature believer. And so I'm going to provide for you a vocabulary book. You know, children can express things to a measure. But if they're looking at for somebody who has a breadth of understanding or something technical, they don't ask a child. Because they know that the significance of their conversation isn't going to be that great. When we grow up in God, our vocabulary for worship and praise becomes wide and deep. Now, in my journey, I never knew anything about this. The only vocabulary I had was the ones in the hymn book and what I heard people say. Most of the time it was hallelujah and praise the Lord, and those things are in the Bible and they're good. But it wasn't a very wide or deep vocabulary. So let's just pause for a moment. Is Jesus your Savior? Of course He is. So how do you express that? Lord, I thank You that You are my Savior. Okay, that's good. If you're 4 years old, you can say that. But when you read the Psalms, how often does David talk about God saving him? How many different ways has God saved you? Think for a moment. Has God saved you in relationships? Has He saved you financially? Has He saved you from trouble? Has He saved you from danger? Do you express that in your praises to Him? You see, if anything, people often get bored if worship lasts longer than 30 seconds. They don't know what to say. They run out of things to say. How, if you read the book of Psalms that talks about all the different ways in which we express our relationship with God and His relationship to us and all the things that He's done and all the things that He is, how could you ever run out of words to say? And why do we sometimes run out of words to say? Why do sometimes after 25 or 30 seconds of singing some praise, we're kind of like, okay, that's enough now? Because we have a very narrow vocabulary of expression. And one of the things that God wants us to learn to do is to open our hearts. Say, you know, if Marilee was in here, I could express to her in so many ways what her life means to me. I wouldn't scratch my head. Let's see, now. I know you did something for me here a few years back. I know you supported me. I know you cared about me. No. It could just keep coming. And let me tell you, my Savior's, His relationship to me is far greater, as wonderful as my relationship with her is. It's far greater and bigger. It doesn't even bear comparing. So could you ever run out of things to say to Him? And so what I'm saying is this. God wants to take us to a place as believers where we get lost telling Him how awesome He is, how amazing He is, how good He is, what a deliverer, what a Savior, what a King, what a Redeemer, what a Creator, what a faithful friend, on and on. You know what you're doing when you increase your vocabulary? Listen to me now, because we're going to do this in a moment. When you increase your vocabulary, you increase the significance of your relationship to that person. So, Ian, would you go down in the V room and tell Marilee, I'm ready for her to come to the piano. I'd like you to open your Bibles, and we're going to have a little more practice here as Ian goes to get Marilee. Psalm 47. Let's look at Psalm 47 and verse 7. Just in case you thought my only verse in the New Testament. Actually, we use two verses there. But Psalm 47 and verse 7 says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise." Sing to Him a psalm of praise. So I want you to find on your tablet or your phone or whatever, your Bible, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. When you found Psalm 34, the first 9 verses, I want you to stand to your feet. Some of you are no doubt familiar with this song, and I'm choosing a psalm, a praise song that is familiar and is simple, and what we're doing as we travel this journey of developing our worship life is we're starting with something that is fairly basic and simple, and we're learning to sing some psalms of praise to the Lord. And you know, the more you sing psalms of praise, you know what happens? Your vocabulary widens, your praise goes deeper, your connection with God becomes greater because you get lost with Him. You get lost with Him. You know, I was in Costa the other day, and I go to a big Costa in Harrow, and I'm talking to somebody, and I look over, and I see a young couple. And they were obviously very enamored with each other, to say the least. And they had their expressions of affection for each other totally unashamedly. You'd have thought they were somewhere else. I mean, when I was a boy, that you didn't see that. But that's where they were. They were into each other. Seriously. And you know what? There was lots of other people up there. And you know, they didn't care. They absolutely didn't care. Why? Because they were caught up with each other. And I believe God wants to take us all to a place where, as the Bible says, I'm not ashamed. David says, I'm not ashamed. I'm just going to get so lost with God and dance myself, look crazy. Why? Because I'm with Him. I love Him. I love Him so much. I'm not thinking about earth. I'm not thinking about this, that, or the other, or what you think of me while I look crazy. I'm lost with Him. I'm lost with Him. Can you get it? Can you see yourself getting so out of yourself? Did you get lost with Jesus? You get lost with Him? I think I told you, when I was in high school, I went to a church. People sang spontaneous praises for 45 minutes. There wasn't any words up here. They didn't have a home psalm book, hymn book. They sang out of here. They sang out of here. And I remember my first time as a 17-year-old teenager. I had never seen this. I didn't understand it. But as I sat there and listened to what the Bible describes, the voice of many waters, the tears streamed down my face. Because I knew God Almighty was in this place. Nobody was kind of looking here or checking their phone or fidgeting or anything else. They're all just like that couple at Costa. They're lost with Jesus. With Jesus. So, I'd like you to pick out a verse from Psalm 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times or extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. All right. I'd like you to get out of your seat and come out to the front here. And I'd like to ask Angela to come. And she's just going to give us a little taste here in a moment. As you pick out your own verse, she's going to need that. She's going to need that. Oh, you got one. Okay. Okay, it's plenty of battery. Just a minute. Yeah, all right. Move right in now. Come on now. I guarantee you won't get hurt. You say, Pastor, why do you like us to get together? Because that's what we're doing with Him. You can't do it with His body. You can't really do it with Him. Come on, move forward. Come on, Bridget. I promise you'll be safe. Everybody just kind of move right in here. Get your verse. You're digging out your verse now. You find your verse, the one you're going to use as you sing. Say, well, Pastor, why are you doing it? The Bible says sing a psalm of praise. Sing a psalm of praise. So you're in a moment, you're going to start with your song. And you know, the beautiful thing about your psalm is that when you start singing the psalm, what happens? Just listen to me now. When you sing a psalm, because God recorded the psalm, it is the Word of God. And here's the dynamic. When you sing a psalm, what happens? It gets bigger. And all of a sudden, it comes into you. While I'm singing it, Lord, You're my deliverer. You're my deliverer. And as you're singing, Lord, my deliverer, what happens? You begin to think about all the times the Lord delivered you. You begin to think about that time where you thought you were going to die and God delivered you. You begin to think about that time that you were in such a hard place financially and God delivered you. And so your song gets wider. You delivered me financially. And it gets bigger. And you go from there. What happens is your vocabulary starts increasing. Okay? Angie's going to just close your eyes right now. Just listen to Angie. She sings one of the two verses of Psalm 34.
He sought the Lord and He answered me so many times. You've answered me, Your voice chased away all my fears. Chased away all my fear. Every time I've sought You, Lord, You've been so faithful to hear. You are so faithful to speak to me. You calm my fears and You deliver me. I set my eyes on You. Every time I look at You, You're right wipes away my shame. Yes. Lord, so many times when I failed you, I looked to you. And still you shine on me again. Still you shine on me again. And you make my face radiant with your glory. Everyone who looks to you, you make our faces radiant, oh God, and our shame is removed. It never comes back, it's removed. Our shame is removed. Our shame is removed, oh God. I want to see more of you. I want to see more of you, oh God. I want to see more of you, more of your radiance, more of your glory. I've tasted and seen, but I know there is more for me. Yes. In your glory, I draw near to you. Oh, I turn my eyes to you again to see your loveliness. Show me more of your beauty, Lord. I want to see. Purify my heart so I can see more. I long for you, Lord. You are my heart's delight. You are the longing of my soul. You are my heart's delight. You are the longing of my soul. You are my heart's delight. You are my heart's delight, oh God. And for all eternity I'll sing of your goodness to me. You are my heart's delight, oh Lord.
Okay, while she's singing,
you are my heart's
you take
delight,
your verse or verses and you begin to sing your song. You make music from your heart right now. I'll taste and see.
I see that you are good.
I'll taste and see that forevermore. I'll taste and see you are my God. So. Clinic here today, and God's so precious right now. But I'd like you to sing something that's both a declaration and something prophetic that's in verse 7. Sing it about yourself and the Lord and your family and this house. Verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps." You can sing that. You can sing. You can give thanks that the angel is here. Wow. The angel is here. When trouble comes, sing, the angel is here. The angel is here. The angel is here. So we're going to take verse 7. Everybody's going to take 7. Verse 7. And you sing your song about the angel of the Lord. Thank you. To worship Him, to praise Him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If you struggled a little bit today, that's okay. Just practice at home. Take out your psalm book. And in your own private devotions, enlarge your vocabulary of praise and worship. Sing to Him. Sing to Him using the words. Your heart will be released. God will come in a greater way into your life because you give Him greater access. We're just getting started. Learning to worship Him. So I'd like you to bring your Bible each week and we just go deeper and wider in this. Sometimes we'll change the tempo and we'll sing something faster with more rhythm. And it'll be right out of the psalm book. Sometimes we'll try a different style. But it'll all be out of the psalm book. You'll see a level of creativity and release in your own life. Because the stream of heaven flows more powerfully, wonderfully, widely, and deeply from you and through you and to you. We say in our prayer, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say, Lord, let heaven invade this earth. As I invade heaven with my praise, let the life of heaven invade me and flow through me. Let heaven invade my body and my family and my finance and my calling and my workplace and my business and my relationships. I want it to be a wide, rushing river. You said that river makes glad the city of God. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today. Thank you, Angie.